idea. There are different mandorim in how the luchos were presented. But there is the mandorim which seems to be commonly accepted in the pictures of the luchos as they are today, that they were equal sized stones, and on one stone were the mitzvahs beinodon lamokain, the five mitzvahs beinodon lamokain, and on the second stone were the five mitzvahs beinodon lacharev. So the Beis HaLikim takes note of something which maybe superficially we wouldn't even observe. And he says, if the stones were of the same size, and it seems that the stones were filled with writing, he brings for that a chazal, the stones were completely filled with writing, then it must have been that the first stone, the stone which had the mitzvahs beinodon lechaveiroi, where if you look in Aseres HaDibrois, each mitzvah has got a few psukim to it, was written in much smaller writing than the stone which had on it impressed the mitzvahs beinodon lechaveiroi. The mitzvahs beinodon, the five mitzvahs beinodon lechaveiroi are each of two words. Which leads us to appreciate that when Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Luchos, then Klal Yisrael saw before them stones bearing the commandments of Hashem Yisbarach. But the first thing that hit them in the eye were the mitzvahs beinodon lechaveiroi. The first thing that they saw was that the Ribbono Shel Olam is telling us from Sinai, in this new Torah that we are receiving, ideas that we might have relegated to the area of secular menschlichkeit. And the idea, says the Beis HaLikim, was to show Klal Yisrael that the demands of the Ribbono Shel Olam in Midas was not menschlichkeit. The demands of the Ribbono Shel Olam in Midas is Gerechtigkeit. The Ribbono Shel Olam expects of us through the Torah and through the mitzvahs of the Torah, and by appreciating the extent of the mitzvahs of the Torah, to reach in Midas a Madrega of Dush. I understand that the theme is how to teach to children. I want to give you first an appreciation, how to appreciate Midas Tovus oneself. I heard once from Baruch Haskel, the Ponevision Mashgiach, a story which is given over about the Chofetz Chaim in different versions, and I will say it over the version in which he said it gave it over to me. The Chofetz Chaim, the story is told that at one time a bocher in his yeshiva was standing trial for deserting the army. And the Chofetz Chaim was called as a witness to give evidence that this bocher attended his yeshiva in those years which came under question. And the Chofetz Chaim came into this court and he was prepared to testify, but he wasn't prepared to take the oath. And the judge expected that some sort of shvur, some sort of affirmation should be made. The counsel for the defense was a Yid, and he wanted to impress on the judge that the Chofetz Chaim is an honest man, a holy man, a man who you can trust his word even if he doesn't make his word. And he told the following story. He said, if you want to know the type of saintliness of this man, he thought of a story which he thought may impress the judge. He can't talk about the tzitzkus of the Chofetz Chaim and his kedusha. So he told over this story. He said the Chofetz Chaim was sitting once in his room, And he is not an affluent person, but there were two silver candlesticks, his sole possessions, on the table. And someone came in, the room was crowded with people, and amongst the people was a thief who came in and stole the candlesticks. And as soon as they noticed that the candlesticks were missing, the Chofetz Chaim got up and ran after the man. And because the Chofetz Chaim started running after the man, all the people in the room started running after the Chofetz Chaim, running after the Galut. The Chofetz Chaim came closer and closer to the Galut, and when he came within hearing distance, he called out to the man, "It seems that you are poor, that you need the money. I give over the matana gemura. The candlestick should be yours. You shouldn't have any issur of the neighbor on it. It should belong to you. Do with them what you want, as I deserve." And he went back into his house. So you see what a wonderful person the Chofetz Chaim is. What a saintly person the Chofetz Chaim is. You can take his word that what he says will be the truth. So the judge answered back and he said, "I don't believe the story." So the story goes right, and the council said, "Whether you believe it or not, but between you and me, they don't tell such stories about his honor." The point, though, that Rav Chaskel Agam, I'll explain you one point here which is interesting. Also, the extent of Midas, Kedushas HaMidas. The Talmidim asked the Chofetz Chaim Akasha, "Why did you need to run after the Ganav? We thought you were going wanted to have the Ganav. But why did you run after him if you wanted to be Moichel? If you were going to give it to him a Matana Gemura, that you could say in your own room, sit on the table and say, 'I'm Moichel to the Ganav everything,' and he should be having a Matana Gemura, and it should be his, and she's Zayna, when it was Zayna Zunt, else everything you could have said at home. What did you have to run after him for?" So the Chofetz Chaim said, the Gemara says, "Niskaven lebosa kazir, but also be also boso play are tzrichot tzlicha v'kapor." If somebody intended to do an aveira, even if it didn't turn out to be an aveira, but he thought he was doing an aveira, he needs kapora for that. "I wanted to save him from every little bit of oinish that he could have had. So if he didn't know that I was moichel, if he didn't hear that I was moichel, he would have thought still that he was using stolen goods. I wanted him to know that I was using. That's why he ran after." That's Kedushas HaMidas. Rav Chaskel said one word on this whole story. And he says, "The judge, I understand. The counsel for the defense, I don't understand. How on earth can you imagine that a goy should believe such a story? That's not a tzaddik in the eyes of a goy, it's a meshugana. He could take revenge. He could have at least got his own back. He could have taken what belongs to him. To give it away in order to save it from Eilis, it doesn't make sense. You can't expect from the Umas Oilam to appreciate that that's Bichlal Tzidkes." The mitzvahs, Veinodah L'Chaveiroi, the particularly difficult mitzvahs, which demand of us a purity of midas, are mentioned in the Shabbos Seder. I'm sure it's been mentioned over Shabbos. Kedoshim Tiyu. This is a mitzvah of Kedoshim Tiyu. It is part of Kedoshim Tiyu. Kedoshim Tiyu, Rashi says, is a parashah which was said by Hakel, Kol Adas Yisrael, Moshim, Anoshim, everybody together had to listen and hear these mitzvahs which are contained in Berigin, Kedoshim Tiyu, and end up with a pasuk of V'yisem Kedoshim Ki Kodesh Ani Hashem Bo Avdil Eschem Mino Amim Liyo Isli. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, "Kedusha is the thing I expect of you, and that is what separates you Mino Amim Liyo Isli. That is the Havdalah Bein Yisrael Amim." It's a mistake to imagine that the difference of Havdalah Bein Yisrael Amim, when we say Havdalah Bein Kodesh L'Choyel Bein Oyel L'Choyshech Bein Yisrael Amim, that we mean mitzvahs. When we say Amadil bein Kodesh L'Choyel bein Oyel L'Choyshech bein Yisrael Amim, we mean midot. Klal Yisrael are intrinsically different in their personality, in their character, in their aspirations, up to perfection in the area of midrash. And that is the Havdalah Bein Yisrael Amir. Immediately at the beginning, when Klal Yisrael came into being, the Shiftei Kor, the foundations of Klal Yisrael are built on the Shiftei Kor. The Pasuk tells us when Reuven was born and Leah called Reuven, the name Reuven, Rashi tells us and brings us from Chazal. What did Leah mean by calling Reuven the name? Here a new nation is being born, and I will define the difference between my son Reuven, the first of the Shiftei Kor, to come into the world, and Ben Chomi, the son of my father-in-law, his firstborn Esau. Esau was a Bechoyer. Esau sold his Bechoyer. And nevertheless, he hated Yaakov. He persecuted Yaakov. And then Moshe Shmuel Netzach. He is still the cast with Yaakov. He can't forgive Yaakov for having received the blessings of the Bechayla which he himself sold. And Reuven, who was a Bechayla, didn't sell his Bechayla. And this is how we teach the foundation of Klal Yisrael, how it's taught to us in the Torah. Reuven, the firstborn of Leah, the firstborn of Yaakov Avinu, Shiftei Kor, Mitosei Shleimo. How is he characterized? He is the Bechayla. The Bechayla was taken against his will away from him and given over to Yosef. And not only did he not hate Yosef, but by Yishmael Reuven, Yatzleim, and Yodom, he is the one who was Moses Nefesh to save Yosef. Midas. Ma Bein Bini Leben Chomi. That is the Havdalah Bein Yisrael O'amim. Midas have got to be taught as part of our heritage, not as part of just being a mensch. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, when he speaks about the Aveiros Bein Adam L'Chaveiroi and describes the tshuva that one has to do, that even when a person realizes how wrong he has been and has gone through the whole procedure of tshuva, knowing that it was an aveira to hurt another person's feelings or to steal and take away his money or whatever harm he had done to him, if he hasn't gone personally to that person and asked his forgiveness, then it's not nimchal, he will not have atonement for his aveira. His whole tshuva doesn't help. Says the Rambam, a person who has been hurt and is in a situation where the person who hurt him is in his hands, he can say, I am moichel you, and he can say, I don't want to be moichel you. He has an opportunity of revenge, a great opportunity of revenge. Says the Rambam these words, Asur la'adam, it's forbidden for a person, liyos achzori, to be cold-blooded, lo yispayes, and not to allow himself to be appeased. El yehei noyach lirtzois, kosher lichois or noyach lirtzois, he should allow himself to be appeased easily. And he goes further and he says, "B'shor shemevakesh mimenu ha'choita limchoil." At the time when the person who sinned against him asks him for forgiveness, he should be moichel b'leiv sholem u'benefesh kafeitzo. He should forgive him with a full heart, u'benefesh kafeitzo, with all the goodwill in the world. Even if he hurt him very much and harmed him very much, nevertheless, he says, Not to be moichel is allowed in the Torah. Lo yikoy, you can't take revenge. And not to take revenge means to rub it entirely, raise it out away from your heart. Oy sita, not to hold that grudge in your mind, in your heart against the person. That would be sufficient if the Rambam, as he usually does, would only be interested in letting us know the halacha. But the Rambam continues, and he says like this: "Vezel darkom shel zera Yisroel velibo mamochoy." This is part of the ways of zera Yisroel. This belongs to something which only Klal Yisroel, one who is a kosher yid, can appreciate. This is darkom shel zera Yisroel velibo mamochoy. Avloide kechovim ole lei einon ke elen rosom shmulonet. This is the Rambam defining for us the Abdullah ben Yisroel Lo'ami. And when the Rambam can't hold himself back, so to speak, when dealing with the technical halacha of mechila, that you have to be moichel a chetva of another person, every person who is involved with people gets hurt sometimes and finds it difficult to be moichel. You should know it's got nothing to do with menschlichkeit, it's got nothing to do with cooperation, it's got nothing to do with we have to live together. It has something to do with Zera Yisrael Libo Manochoi. And if you can't manage it, then you should know somewhere the barrier between Yisrael or Amim has been broken. The Rambam goes into the holiest status. Klal Yisrael are a nation only for them it is timeless. Asher bochavonu mikol ha'amim, because we have these seguloys. Because through our avos, through the avodah of the avos, our midos have been elevated to a level where we could receive Torah from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Asher bochavonu, first we went through a process of bechira, asher bochavonu mikol ha'amim, and only after that we lost and lost the rest. I think when it comes to teaching midos, it's important to teach it from that point of view. That midos is the measure of a Jew. This is part, not of our heritage, it's not part of our instruction, it's part of our very being. It's part of the makeup of a yid. It belongs to the skulois. It belongs to those treasured attributes that we feel we've received through the avodah that the others did for us. And our duty, the Torah gives us the ways and the means, provides us with the instruction, the inspiration, and if we perform it as mitzvahs with the Siyata Dishmaya, that comes only when we are conscious of performing a mitzvah. The Torah provided us with all this to preserve in us those midos tovos that be'emes are the natural mitzvahs of it. I understand that, and all have informed me that from the practical side of all the deliberations, the fact that one has become more conscious of how important the education of midos are, how important both from the point of view, as we've mentioned, of perfecting ourselves as yidden, and how much more important today, when everything is so alien to that what Yiddish and midos find a way to structure a program where this most important, you see the stick, the fundamental basis of our education, which is missing if we don't teach the middos as the Torah expects us to teach them. That for that purpose, one hopes to set up a model school, which seems to be an extremely ambitious idea. But on the other hand, halavai should be blessed with success, that somehow one will be able to learn a method by which, even in this day and age, where middos would be the last thing on the program, one could raise the status of awareness, the importance of this education, that it should get become priority number one. But meanwhile, I think, maybe this idea might have been mentioned as well in the course of the weekend, I think that middos is perhaps a subject about which we can say they cannot be taught. Middos have to be learned. And what do I mean by that? The Chazon Ish, in Emunah and Bitochen, in his Grundriss of Emunah and Bitochen, says that the first requirement for Melamed is Midos Toiris. Menahalim who interview Melamdim must be aware of this. The first requirement of any Melamed, any teacher, is Midos Toiris. Says the Chazon Ish, because a Talmid is loymed mi maisov yoise mi shiurov. A Talmid, particularly a child, learns much more from the behavior of the teacher than from the words of the teacher. A teacher who would undertake to teach a middos program and wouldn't by his very behavior embody, personify every word of what he says, would be only be able to teach the child one middos, and that is hypocrisy. To teach middos, and maybe as a preparation, it takes time to prepare a program, well structured, how to teach middos to children. But the preparation must be that we ourselves should undertake a middos program. The preparation must be that we understand the difficulties, we overcome the difficulties, we understand the importance, we find ways and means of tackling our own middos. That is the beginning of a middos program for Talmidim. Talmidim learn middos. We must learn middos. And when we learn middos, our Talmidim learn middos from us. The second theme, which I understand has taken great importance in this particular convention, is something which I must admit I have heard very often as a criticism of Torah Mosaic. And I live quite far away. But I think that speaks well for Torah Mosaic, that they get criticized even in England. Continuity, input, all the Mesiras Nefesh that we put into Talmidim, all the Kechis, how can one allow it to become lost? And I haven't got the answers. I wouldn't assume that I appreciate the difficulties. I wouldn't assume that I have any answers. But what I would like to put forward is this, that it's important to know what is in store for each for the Melamed, for the teacher, for the Menahem. What is in store for that person? For each child that he manages to bring over that bridge, and what is at stake for if one doesn't manage? I think the attitude that one has to adopt in order to appreciate one's responsibilities properly is that what Chazal tell us, Kalam Lamed es ben chaveiroi, toiro, male olo vakosu kiru yod. I won't go into all the Chazal and the various psukim, but it's a well-known Chazal. The Chazal tell us that the Torah informs us, Mala Olava Kosov, that if you teach someone Torah, then he becomes your child. What kind of reward is that? How do we appreciate, what does it mean that this person, this Talmud becomes your child? What do you gain from it? What does the Torah want us to know about it? I think the pshat is like this. Chazal tell us, Ro mezake abba. A child gives chusim, he gives merits to his father. In Shuvas HaRashba, I'll tell you over the Kitzah, in Shuvas HaRashba, the Rashba was asked a question that we find in many places that we speak about chusovis. Chusovis seems that we expect or we hope that the Ribbono Shloilom should give us things that we personally don't deserve on the merit of our forefathers who did deserve these things. And here we have a Chazal which says, Bro mezake abba, a son can give merits to his father, but ain't abba mezake bro, and a father can't give over chusim to his son. So how does the idea of chusovis fit in? So the Rashba says in the Maltik Teres, the Rashba says there's an afkamina in Oilam Hazeh and in Oilam Habah. In Oilam Hazeh, there's such a thing as chusovis. Others who are already in Oilam Habah. But they did so many maisim toivim, which Odom Eichel Peresea in Oilam Hazeh. They left over, so to speak, a Yerusha for their children. That the schar, which of their maisim which they did, which was repaid in Oilam Hazeh, should be repaid to them by giving it to their children. That is chusovis. Chusovis works. For always who did maisim toivim in Oilam Habah, they, their schus, can allow children to benefit from the fruits of their labors. Bro mezaka abba is in Oilam Habah. When a father goes, or grandfather, when someone is in Oilam Habah and can't anymore provide for oneself chusim, there is a system of bro mezaka abba. When the father is in Oilam Habah, then he has the chusim, because the child is a continuation of him. A child is merely an aver, a limb of the father. An extension of the father in this world, and the grandfather and so on. They still have things going on in this world which provide them with chusim. So bro mezake abba, because he is an extension of his father, and in this world he does mitzvahs, so that in Oilam Habah the father can benefit from the maisim of a son. On the other hand, if a son would be in Oilam Habah and a father would do a good maaseh, he can't benefit his son at all, because the son is not the goyim of the father, it's not an extension of the father. The maaseh are already separated from each other. Bro mezake abba is in Oilam Habah. When we have children, we know that it's an investment in our Oilam Habah. With a system of bro mezake abba, they are an extension of myself, they are an extension of ourselves, and they provide us with chusim. They, the children, their grandchildren, and on and on and on. Anything which can be eventually attributed to a slight hashpoah, or not even a ruchnistic hashpoah, but it's a physical extension of myself, provides me in Oilam Habah with chusim. When Chazal tell us, Kolam Lamedes ben Chavreiloi Toiro, Ma'al Olava Kosu Kilu Yoldoi, our Talmidim, our children, the Toiro tells us that I give you the schus of Rom Zaka Abba. They become an extension of yourself. And when a person, a Melamed, would realize this, feel in every Talmud an extension of himself. Ma'alo de Makosu is a Metzius. Every child, my own child, would I be able to sleep just because I haven't got the right school for him? Because I could just go as far as this grade and no further. Would I appreciate the value of a Mesiras Nefesh to get one Talmud further and he will provide me, let's be a bit egoistic perhaps for one moment, with my Olam Habo? At least this ought to provide motivation to get this problem solved. And if it can't be solved, to realize that it's not a question of salvaging. Every single yochid is an achievement and is worth every bit of the Siras Nefesh that one can put into it. And this we must, I would like to say a word that basically is a message to take home, a message to teach in the classroom, and maybe one can see in it too a way of appreciating our position in this great cause. Chazal say, on the pasuk, a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, hinei ze oimed achar koslim. Shkiach nachloinoi, smitzitz minachrakim. Hinei ze oimed achar koslim. Ze, this one is standing behind our wall. A pasuk shleim ha-melech sefer ruach ha-kodesh, 2,000 years ago, more than 2,000 years ago. Chazal, that goes back 2,000 years ago. In Medrash Rabbah Achnot, explain the pasuk. Ze koisel maravi. Koslenu means koisel maravi. And hine ze goes on the Ribbono shel Olam, who is oimed achar koslenu ze koisel maravi. Veloma, what does it mean? Why? What does it mean? The Ribbono shel Olam standing behind the wall, the Kaisel Maravi? Shenishba HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she'enoi choreg l'oilam. Because the Ribbono shel Olam made a shvuah that the Kaisel Maravi will never, ever be destroyed. My Rebbe Rebbe Lopium said once, and I think this is a message to teach children. Kaisel Maravi is a universal idea. Whichever family, however far away from Yiddishkeit one is, one knows there's such a thing as a Kaisel Maravi. He said once, we don't need a Koisel Ma'arovi to daven. For Tfila, the Mokaim is Kodesh, with a Koisel, on a Koisel. The Mokaim is a Mokaim from Dusha. Not for that purpose does the Koisel Ma'arovi stand. The Gidi should have a place where to daven. The Koisel stands as the only evidence in our time, before our eyes, that Torah is min hashamayim. When Chazal, Torah, with all its droshelach, imagine, if Chazal were not inspired by Ruach HaKodesh itself, if Chazal weren't convinced of the emes of every word that they said, would they have dared to expose themselves 2,000 years back and to write a taish of chat in a posuk, in a mysterious posuk in Shleima HaMelech's head, and to say that the Kaisel Ma'arovi in a Chorem Le'oilo to be Megala a soid like that, if they weren't 100% convinced of what they're saying is Min HaShemayim? In the 2,000 years that have followed, this Koisel has been in the place which is of greatest turmoil in history. How many wars have come over it? How many people have tried to destroy it? And if we speak about our times, 20 years the Arabs had the Koisel Ma'arovi in their hands. If you'd ask the question in the United Nations, why did the Arabs not blow up the Koisel Ma'arovi? I don't think anyone knew to give an answer. They knew there would be a knife in the heart of a Yid, and they knew that no nation would tell them off about it. What did they? Didn't kill anybody, they just threw down a few stones. There's one answer. Nidba Kodesh Baruch Hu Sheinei Cholem Lo'elo. And when Chazal dared to say that, they exposed themselves. If in any moment in history the Koisel Ma'arovi would be destroyed, you'd be able to take the whole Medrash Rabbah and throw it out. And they dared, because they knew that what they say is emes in HaShemayim. The Koisel Ma'arovi stands today because we know that it's going to stand. And this is how we teach Emuna. Look at the Koisel Ma'arovi and all the slogans that are painted over it. Don't do justice to its existence. There's one message. Torah min HaShemayim. And when the Ribbono Shel Olam, in the same fashion, I feel very much, we can't always have the curtains before our eyes. But there's one other pasuk where the Ribbono Shel Olam himself exposed, so to speak, Torah. And as I threw it down as a challenge, freed me up, and it's not Min HaShemayim. There are a few places, perhaps. But the one which is relevant to us, V'an Suchem HaShira, is L'Shishokach M'Pizara. L'Shishokach M'Pizara, the fact that Torah continues through all generations, through all goals, after all persecutions. The fact that in the United States of America, as it is today, an organization like Torah Mosela, with all its breadth, from state to state, has influence and brings together as a cohesive force, Melande Tinoikishu Beis Rabba, the Novi says, Hine Olechi Vahayelodim La'oisais Ulemoisim Beisroi. When Rashi says Yelodim, he means Tamidim. If they are Tamidim today, then we are the Ois and Moifes of Torah Min HaShemayim. The And this is the confidence with which he looks to the future, that however ambitious our undertakings may sound, however impossible it seems to get a program off the ground, it's not more impossible than the very survival of Plato as it has survived till today. And we have our talk, Shishoka Kipizaroi, and if we appreciate a Midas program as being the basic foundation for Torah, then we understand that the Luchay Shniyos, with a big Kiddush Lavon HaOshios of Mitzvahs Benodah L'Chaveroi, impressed on Klal Yisrael, these are the first mitzvahs on which you can base Kiyum Kol HaTorah Kula. Then we have to realize that we've got the support of the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. Because what we are undertaking is a way of how to keep together the foundations on which Torah can be built, which is the very essence of Torah Mitzvah. Ribbono Shel Olam should help. Eskinus L'Shem Shemayim should have the success that it deserves after every effort that Klal Yisrael ever put in any edifice, right from the beginning, the first time when they set up the Mishkan, with all the L'Shem Shemayim, with all the great workers who understood the work and who appreciated to put in the kavanos accurately as Ribbono Shel Olam expected, Kasher Tzivor Hashem, there still was no guarantee for success. Until Moshe Rabbeinu came and gave the bracha, V'inoyam Hashem Elokeinu Oleinu, Ma'is Yedeinu Kehenu Oleinu, U'Ma'is Yedeinu Kehenu. Yirotzoi Shetishre Shechina V'Ma'is Yedeicha. We need tefillah. Noyam Hashem. Malvin explains, Noyam Hashem, what do you mean? Noyam Hashem Elokeinu Oleinu. Noyam Hashem means that the Ribbono Shel Olam should have nachas. Noyam Hashem Elokeinu Oleinu, if that is our tefillah, that all that we are building here, all that we are organizing, all our efforts, we do this because we want the Ribbono Shel Olam to have nachas from us, then we can be sure Shetishre Shechina V'Ma'is Yedeicha.